You can tell a lot about a person's spirituality by their checkbook. Take a tour of the average checkbook and you will find out where the priorities lie. Jesus said, "Where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also." It was Martin Luther who said three conversions are necessary. The conversion of the heart, number one, the conversion of the mind, number two, and the conversion of the wallet, number three.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his word. Make a connection.
And welcome to The Connection with Skip Heitzig, as today's Skip continues our series, Heaven Below, with a look at how we view finances. To live the Christian life, you basically just need to do the opposite of what the world says. If you want to be first, you need to be last. If you want to be great, you must be humble. If you want to gain, you have to give away. In today's study, Skip explores why giving should be the mark of the Christian life. But first, we want to share about a resource that will help make your most important relationships centered on Christ.
All You Need Is Love was the anthem of the 60s, born out of a broken and lost generation looking for true love. Not much has changed since then. The world is still looking for love in a lot of dead-end and broken relationships. What does God think about it all? About marriage, the family, the single life? If you're looking for answers, whether you're in a romantic relationship or not, this month's resource package from Skip Heitzig will give you what you're searching for. You'll receive Pastor Skip's book, Beyond the Summer of Love, which will help you lay a solid foundation for your relationships. You'll also get inspiring Australian duo for King and Country's latest album, Run Wild, Live Free, Love Strong, and a special interview with them and Pastor Skip. The book, CD, and interview are yours for any amount donated to The Connection. Order today at 1-800-922-1888 or visit us at connectiononline.org/offers.
We've been so privileged to hear from listeners about how this ministry has helped them experience the grace of God after they heard one of Skip's teachings. If you have a story about how this ministry has helped you in your spiritual walk, let us know. Send an email to us at mystory@connectiononline.org. We're usually pretty good at giving during the special occasions in life. But today, Skip explains that giving should be a consistent part of our lives. So stay tuned right here on The Connection.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his word. Make a connection.
Open your Bibles again to Philippians chapter 4. Let's join Skip Heitzig as he begins today's study, Checkbook Theology.
The Bible does speak about money. It doesn't speak about it as much as some preachers speak about it, but it does speak about it. But I don't believe in representing God as if he's broke. He's the creator of the universe. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. We trust and rest on him and his resources. A great story about Mark Twain. One time he was sitting in church and the preacher harangued and went on and on about money and we got to give, give. And it just so upset Mark Twain that the next week when he came, not only did he not put money in the offering, but when it was passed by him, he reached in and grabbed some and took it home with him. I don't recommend you do that, by the way. Truth is, you can tell a lot about a person's spirituality by their checkbook. I mean, think about it. Take a tour of the average checkbook and you will find out where the priorities lie. Jesus said, "Where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also." It was Martin Luther who said three conversions are necessary. The conversion of the heart, number one, the conversion of the mind, number two, and the conversion of the wallet, number three, the whole life. So there are certain questions that this section that we're about to read brings into our purview. Questions like, how should believers treat finances? Is money evil? is a good? What is our responsibility with the treasures and the time and the talents that we have? And does the Bible provide any criteria for giving to certain organizations? Are there certain things we ought to look for? All of those, I believe, are answered in this text. Let's jump in verse 14. Continuing his thought from last week, actually, he says, nevertheless, and I'll explain that nevertheless in just a moment in case you weren't here last week, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you did send aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Three principles emerge from the paragraph we just looked at. They're in your bulletin. You can follow along. The three great principles are simply this. Generosity is commended for God's children. Generosity is commended. Second principle, and we'll look at this, interest is compounded, also related to giving. And then finally, giving is rewarded. And that's the final verse of our section, verse 19. Notice that in verse 14, which brings our first point, that generosity is commanded, he says, nevertheless, you have done well. In other words, what you've done in giving to the ministry that I'm involved in, Paul would say, is a good thing. It's commendable. Now, he says, nevertheless. That's because he had just finished saying, I'm content, I've learned in all things, whether I have a lot or I have none, I'm content in Christ, I can do all things through him. Nevertheless, it's good, it's commendable that you have richly supported the ministry that I am undertaking here at Rome and elsewhere. Understand something about money from the biblical perspective. Money is not either good or evil. It just is. It is neutral. It's a tool. Good people can use it for good things. Bad people can use it for bad things. Money in and of itself is not evil. I kind of get perturbed whenever I hear somebody misquote what Paul said to Timothy, that money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. It says the love of money is a root. There are many, a root of all kinds of evil. That's a very different meaning. So if you look to the pages of Scripture, you discover that sometimes God even blessed people and prospered them financially, I think because he knew he could trust them with it. Abraham was one. He had flocks and he had herds. And when he traveled, he even had a staff of 318 paid, trained servants who were also a militia when he got into trouble. Then there was Job, who was the wealthiest man in the East, Job chapter 1. He lost it all. You know his story. And at the end, God even gave him more. The end of the book of Job reads, "The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning." Then there was Joseph. Joseph, sold into Egypt as a slave, became the second ruler of the world, and since Egypt was the world-governing empire, he was the second richest man on earth, and God put him in that position. And then you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 24, that says this, here's the principle, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. So understand, money in and of itself is not evil inherently. It's one's attitude and one's use of it and motivation with it that is at the heart of the matter. And how one handles money can be a barometer of spiritual growth. I like what one person said. He said, money is like manure. Hoard it up, stack it up, it stinks. Spread it around, it makes things grow. It could be said of a lot of people, it stinks because all they do is amass more and more and more, never spreading it around to do the greatest good. Giving then is good. Generosity is commended. And everybody in the Bible who gave out of a pure heart to the work of the Lord, be it Old or New Testament, was commended. David was commended for the support of the temple building. In 1 Kings chapter 8, the Lord said, because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that you have this in your heart. In the New Testament book of 3 John, just a sliver of a book, when John writes to his buddy named Gaius, a church leader, John said, you are doing a good work for God when you take care of traveling teachers who are passing through, even though they're strangers to you. And even Paul noted the words of Jesus when he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Here's the bottom line. Very few things can get done organizationally in ministry without the open-handed generosity of God's people. That's just how it works. And it is a beautiful thing to see one who is not tight-fisted, but open-handed because they are open-hearted. It's wonderful. I heard about a church in the South. Now, you got to picture the scene. It's a Southern church. It's a vocal church. In that church, the pastor liked to run up and down the stage and sometimes the aisles, and it was a hooting and hollering church, and the people were very interactive, if you know what I mean. Amen. They talked back to him. Don't get any ideas. And he was winding down his sermon. I should say he was winding up his sermon. That's how those sermons work. And he said, this church has got to be like the lame man that gets up and walks. And they clapped and shouted back, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. So he thought, I'm onto something. And he pumped it up a little bit more. And this church has got to be like Elijah after he left Mount Carmel and ran. This church has got to get up and run. And they said, let it run, preacher, let it run. So he thought, I got him now. And he said, this church has got to be like an eagle that mounts up with wings and flies. And they said, let it fly, preacher, let it fly. And then he said, and for this church to fly, it's going to have to take money. It was a silence. And somebody shouted out, let it walk, preacher. Let it walk. And I'm sure that church did. So it is commendable. It is good. Generosity is commended. Here's why, Paul says. Look at verse 14. You have done well in that you shared. Sit on that word for a moment. You shared in my distress. And put that word together with one in verse 15. It's the same word. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. The word shared is a word, when I say it, you'll go, I recognize it. Sunkonaneo. You've heard of the word koinonia. Means fellowship. Sunkonaneo means a partnership together with other people. So it's good because it's a pleasant gesture. It's also good because it's a partnership. Paul cared more about the partnership than he did about the money. You shared with me. This is how it worked. I, Paul, will preach. I will go where no man has gone before. You don't have to go, but you have supported me, and so you've shared in my distress. We are now partners together in this ministry. Not everybody can get up and go to the mission field. And we applaud someone who says, I'm selling everything, and I'm moving to a foreign country, and I'm going to be a missionary. Not everybody can be a goer, but others can be senders. But whether you're a goer or a sender, you're both partners together. I mentioned Gaius. John wrote him that little letter of 3 John. This is what he said, continued on with that thought. So we should support them so we may become partners with them for the truth. The financial support is just as important as the spiritual preaching. That's the partnership. The third reason that it is good is because, and here's the ultimate motivation, it pleases God. Verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You can get the imagery, can't you, in that verse? He's taking you back to the temple days when sacrifices were offered on a daily basis. And, you know, if you were to walk anywhere around Jerusalem, especially the temple complex 2,000 years ago, you'd not only hear things, you'd smell things. Can you imagine the smell of roasted meat with incense? It's sort of like a backyard barbecue turned up to 10. You walk by, it's like, wow, that's awesome. Well, that's roasted lamb. They're butchering the lamb and putting them on the altar. And the idea that God had behind the sweet-smelling aroma is that any animal sacrifice offered in the temple with a pure heart, it was like God was going, ah, love it. It's an acceptable sacrifice, music to my ears, an aroma to my nostrils. And so that's the idea behind this. It's pleasing to God. And folks, that is always the highest motivation for giving. Not because the church needs it, not because the organization needs it, not because that relief effort needs it, because God is worth it. It's pleasing to Him. I'm going to read you a portion of a letter. It's an old letter. It was written in 125 AD to the Emperor Hadrian by an Athenian philosopher named Aristides concerning Christians in the Roman Empire. Here's the observation he makes. From the widows, they do not turn away their countenance. They rescue the orphan from him who does him violence. He who has gives to him who does not have without grudging. When one of their poor passes away from the world and any of them sees him, then he provides for his burial according to his ability. If they hear that any of their number is imprisoned or oppressed for the name of their Messiah, all of them provide for his needs. And if it is possible that he may be delivered, they deliver him. If there is among them a man that is poor or needy, and they have not an abundance of necessaries, that is necessities, they fast 2 or 3 days that they may then supply the needy with their necessary food. In other words, I'm observing these Christians. They make sacrifices in the name of their Messiah for each other. By the way, did you notice in verse 18 that it is called a sweet-smelling aroma and acceptable sacrifice? I got to tell you, sometimes giving is sacrificial. I mean, after all, it's like, wait a minute, I'm going to give 10% of everything I make to the Lord's work? That's a sacrifice. It's meant to be. But let me just give you a refreshing example of somebody who thought differently. He looked at it and said, okay, I'm going to give 10% of my income to the Lord's work. That means God's letting me keep 90%. But this man figured, if the Lord would greatly prosper me, I bet it would take less than 90% for me to live on. The name of the man was R.G. Letourneau. Letourneau, an avid Christian, was also an inventor, philanthropist. He invented the great earth-moving equipment that you see today. He was the first guy to come up with it. He became a multimillionaire, and he told the Lord, if the Lord prospered him, he would live on much less and give away much more. He ended up tithing 90% of everything he made and lived on the 10%, because the 10% of what he made was huge. Because he figured it's a sacrifice, and I am a steward of God. And so generosity is commended. Here's the second principle, and to me it's the most exciting, verse 17. Interest is compounded. Yes, generosity is commended, but interest is compounded. Here's why. Not that I seek the gift, listen to this, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Folks, we are now getting insight into how God keeps books in heaven. His bookkeeping perception, how God views the giving of money.
You know, all the things we have here on earth don't belong to us. God has called us to be stewards of those things because really, they belong to Him. He's only loaned them to us, our time, our talents, even our families. So how are you using what you've been given to invest in God's work? That's the only treasure that will last forever. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, here's Skip and Lenya to talk about a cause that brings the hope of Christ to children around the world. Skip?
Hey, Lenya, we've had a privilege this past year of launching a whole new initiative to bring hope to children impacted by terror. What I love about this is the very unique mission outreach, because it is targeted to getting the gospel out to the world, but in the specific way of helping the least of these, children who can't help themselves, who are abused by governments or groups who are terrorists, and they get bullets headed their way, or they lose their parents because of those bullets, and they're out in mountains in Iraq, or they're out in jungles of Southeast Asia. It's called Reload Love. And you recently were in Burma. In fact, the last time we did a radio thing for this radio show, you were gone, and we were praying for you. But tell us about Reload Love and what's happening over there.
Well, thank you for all your prayers. And it was an incredibly arduous trip, but amazing. And I've had friends say, so why? Why did you trek, hike for 2 days
yeah,
and
okay, backpack? You have to tell us. You say arduous trip. It's not like, oh, the hotel was bad. You were not in a hotel.
No.
You did not have a bed. You had a backpack with a sleeping bag. You had no electricity,
no phones,
you had
no
running
lights,
water.
No motor cars.
Not a single luxury.
Yeah,
okay,
nothing.
Go ahead.
But yes, and I didn't do it just to fast from the accoutrements of society, but it's because there are children in faraway places that we can't get to them. There's nobody going to airlift them in or out or send a helicopter. There's no advanced healthcare team.
It is isolated, so isolated. You had to hike like two, three days one way and then back to get to this place. So go ahead.
And grateful to be with organizations who had mules, horses, or abilities to take the things in. Reload Love just began last year and only partway through the year, and we have distributed over $50,000 so far for kids in caught in the crossfire. While we were in Burma, we got to meet with teams that were getting their medical supplies for their mission into the jungle. And this takes unique individuals who are able to hike for days at a time to get to these kids. So as I saw them pour out all the medicines on a tarp in the jungle under palm trees, and they are divvying them up to backpacks so that people in that native area from those tribes are being taught in their language to get in and bring medicines to these kids. Also to partake in a program that's called the Good Life Club. It's like a vacation Bible school.
Right. So
for
they
us.
Hear the gospel, there's songs, there's ways
yes.
to share the Christ with them.
Right. They can't come to church and have a VBS, but they can bring a VBS to these kids. Mm. And so these hardcore trained people that are really more trained to be military guys are down in the dirt playing with the kids, having PT with them, making bracelets with the gospel message. They were having races and meals and so much fun. And so we're taking the ministry to them. And it's the salt out of the salt shaker. They're not going to be able to come and lick one of these blocks of salt. We have to sprinkle it far away. And so I was honored to go to Burma, where kids are really internally displaced, chased by their governments, and in the lines of
fire. And I love that you didn't just send someone or come up with the idea. You have gone, and you've gone a few times. I plan to go to Iraq
yes.
to follow up on that. But
soon.
But you know, this is a worthy cause, and I'm just going to let people know we're trying to raise $1 million,
yes.
and even that wouldn't scratch the surface as far as needs around the world, but it's such a great way to get the gospel out and uniquely target the least of these children. It's called Reload Love. Tell us the website.
ReloadLove.com. So that's very simple, and if you want to follow us on Twitter or Instagram, it's at I Reload Love. And we also have a YouTube channel. So follow us on YouTube. As a matter of fact, YouTube is a way that you can help us freely. If you just go on YouTube, subscribe to our channel, like some of our videos and share them with your friends, YouTube will monetize that and give us money because you watched our videos.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And again, ReloadLove.com has all the info for you. And if you'd like a copy of today's message, Checkbook Theology, just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectiononline.org/radio. Each copy is just $6. And if God has used this message to help you grow in the knowledge of His Word, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at mystory@connectiononline.org. On our next broadcast, we'll finish our study in the book of Philippians. So we hope you join us right here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.